Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Lead Blog Talk Radio Show. For the host, Time to Lead host, myself, Brother Carlton, this is a traveling show. My family and I, are actually preparing for Staple Goods 20. We traveled to Atlanta to one of the wholesale places to get products to make for the Staple Goods program that's hosted by the Nation of Islam Staple Goods program at Muhammad Farms. So this is what this show is about. Are you preparing your home in this time of want? This is part two of last week's show, where we showcased the Staple Goods program, and we're looking forward to presenting information valuable to you, and also about the Staple Goods program, and having entertaining some questions you may have regarding the Staple Goods program. I see that Dr. Ridgely is on the line. I'm going to open his mic. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Alaykum salam. How y'all doing?
Yes, sir. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you just fine.
Okay, good. Praise be to Allah. For now, until they start messing with the phone. But anyway, until then. Yeah,
yes,
so,
yes,
you know,
sir.
Yeah, y'all got to be getting busy to put together your urban blends and then your granola. Plus, she still got to do her pies and bread for me and others. So, Brother Carlton, you could be, you seem to me like you could be drafted right in there.
Well, it appears so, because we've been blessed. It's a blessing, and it's also a challenge. But the Staple Goods has made an opportunity for my wife's businesses, and, you know, it's beautiful to be able to have a budding entrepreneurship based on the support of believers who quality products and want to support ourselves. So it's exciting, and we're grateful, you know, that, you know, with your creativity and your hard work, Dr. Wood, you make this opportunity for us and some of the other small vendors in the staple goods program.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, this has been a 2020 was a challenging year, to say the least. I mean, you know, we started off, we come back from Savior's Day, and this pandemic kicks off, and like everything was like up in the air. We didn't know what to do, whether we should have staple goods 19 or not, because we were worried about whether people would be able to even go and pick up the products, you know. And
yes, sir.
And so we decided that we was going to figure out a way to make sure they were safe, make sure they contacted the local authorities to let them know what we're doing, and it's essential. We're delivering food to our co-op members, our customers, and this is essential during this time that we're able to get through. And so we did that, and we got a lot of good response from the authorities in the cities. They was impressed by us coming to them to clear the way. You know what I mean? And so, I felt better after that because I was really worried about, in my mind, I'm looking at one of our coordinators on the road and getting pulled over by a cop. You know what I mean? And they said, what you all doing? You know, and that type of thing. You know what I mean? That's just, oh, God, that just
yes,
was a
sir.
Nightmare.
Yes,
I couldn't
sir.
Sleep for nights until like we figured out how we might be able to do it safely. And all praise due to Allah. Nobody reported any type of problems. And inshallah this time, because your boy Biden, President Biden, is threatening. He's threatening a four-week shutdown. Okay?
Yes, sir.
4-6 week shutdown. He's threatening that. So we don't know what's going to happen. So, but everybody has their credentials, so they can show that they're part of a food co-op, and we're going to get the products for our customers, so they can eat. But you know, the government and the churches, you know, black churches were not that interested in food. They were just interested in the Lord. Okay, but now black churches is a part of the giveaway food program. So I said, look at that. You know, I hope that they don't have that the preachers would not allow you to give out food if you tell your people to get the shot. I hope that wasn't the case, even though I suspect that it is.
Yes, sir.
You know, so but we tell y'all, you don't have to get a shot to keep food in your pot. Just come to the staple goods.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
But you know, hopefully some other people call in the ministry and staple goods about their experiences. We had a good conference call Tuesday night where we discussed their experiences and what they think was going on. And you know, a lot of people made a comment, man. People stocked up, man. I mean, we did all that. We did like 4 tractor trailer loads of navy beans and 18B. Then we came back with more products, 4 times the amount of products on all the different items we had than we ever had before. And so it was like, bam, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it wasn't no steady growth, it was explosion. And now, you know, the people have got a lot of their products, and they just are sitting comfortable. But hopefully they don't sit too comfortable because, you know, you might have to last for 3 or 4 weeks. 3 or 4 months.
That's right.
Who knows what's
yes,
going to happen?
We don't know what's coming down the pipe.
We don't know what's coming down the pipe. So we hope that everybody takes care of themselves and have the stuff that the family needs, et cetera, and be safe. But we are in a crazy time that we were warned about. You know, remember we started the Staple Goods Project 10 years ago, and it was partially because the minister said that we need to have enough essentials, food and water, in our homes to survive for 3 months without going out. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir. That's right.
And so this is one of the reasons we set up the Staple Goods Project is so the people will be prepared for the date that we're living in right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we got somebody else in line. Looks like it's Sister Ann. I'm going to open up her mic. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. I'm just coming on to join in the conversation.
Well, speak up.
Well, I
conversate.
No pressure. Also,
pressure.
I just want to say, also, anybody who is a coordinator or a time to leave member, if you're on the call, press the 1 on your dial, and we would love to hear your opinion and your experiences with the Staple Good program and what you like to see where it's headed. Dr. Richard, what do you think, Sam? You know, where do you think this is heading?
Well, you know, one thing we talked about Tuesday night is that we're going to go after the retail customers. Now, you know, Brother Terrence brought up last week out of Phoenix. He made the question, asked the question, you know, isn't the long-term goal of the Staple Goods Project is for us to have a chain of cooperatively owned grocery stores in each of the major cities? What are we doing towards making that move? And so that was a really good question, and I answered it, but I thought about it even more afterwards, and I said, you know, we have to start thinking for the long time now, the long term, and
yes, sir,
where are we really headed? And that's what we want. That's what we want. So one thing we decided to do is go out to that retail. Everybody, you know, don't want to get 50 pounds. You know what I mean? There's a 50 pounds of that. But they might want to get 5 pounds. So let's make that available so that we can increase the customer base. Because in the end, when we go after investors to open up a store, we have to show them a customer base. And if a person buys a 50-pound bag of beans, that's one customer. But if 10 customers buy 5 pounds of beans, that's still 50 pounds, but now that's 10 customers. So now you can show that on the perspective of, oh, yeah, we got 10 customers, whereas before you only could show one customer. So since some people have already stocked up and then some people aren't buying that large quantities, let's see how we can facilitate. And some of the people are already doing it, facilitating them getting smaller quantities. And that way we expand our customer base. And, indeed, once the people – experience our products, you know, that they come back and realize that this is just a better product. It's just a better product, not just a black product, not just an expensive product, but a good product, better than the product that they're buying in the stores. You know, like Sister Ann's muffin mix. I mean, it's trying to keep up with Navy Bean. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
She
yes,
and outstripped every damn thing, everybody, except Navy Bean.
yes, sir.
You know, it's a good product.
Yes, sir.
You know?
If we can actually, Dr. Ridge, we got a caller.
Okay. Bring him on.
Caller with the last 4 digits, 780-883. What's your name and where are you calling from?
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Dwayne from Peoria, Illinois.
Let's learn, Brother Wayne.
Yes, sir. I want, you know, you were saying about the coordinators to give a shout out. I want to say that the Staple Good Drive, since I came on a couple years ago, it has been a blessing for me here in Peoria, and it's really been a blessing to a lot of the people that's around Peoria. I mean, Staple Goods 19, I was on post with a brother that lives in Iowa, and to be able to bring them on board and get beans and rice and things like that all the way up into Iowa was a real good blessing. But I'm happy that we're now starting to talk about breaking everything down into smaller portions because I really want to be able to approach a lot of my final call customers. And that was just a good little recommendation I wanted. Yeah, after that conference call on Tuesday, was how many of the coordinators actually get out with some of those brothers that are at least up to a bundle or have some customer in their final call and just, you know, kind of pair up with some of them and maybe get some flyers into their hands. It's just something to throw out there.
Yes, sir. That's right. I mean, once you get your foot in the door, bring everything you can. You know what I'm saying? So if we bring in small enough quantities for people to purchase without them spending a whole lot of money just to try it out. So listen, this is from, you know, a lot of people say, you know, Mr. Farrakhan, he just talked. Well, here's something you can eat. How about that? Okay? Now, you can't get no better than that. Now, you got this great talk, this great truth, but now you got great food. Go behind it. So why don't y'all try some of this? So, no, we more than just talk. We know how to walk, and we're making it happen. So why don't you try these products out? I mean, you know, it definitely won't kill you because the other stuff you eating is. So, you know, so, yeah, I think that this is, again, you know, we're trying to make Minister Farrakhan's word bond. He's the one who bought this farm, okay? He's the one who put up the 3-year economic program to get this farm. He's the one who's been telling us to store food in our homes. He's the one that's been telling us to get together and do business. So we're doing that. It's not for the minister to do all those things. His job is to give us the message, is to give us the guidance. And then we're going to have to get off our lazy behinds and go to work. Well, I don't want to say lazy behind, because many of us may be working 2 and 3 jobs, but for the other man, for the other side. How are you going to catch up? You're working for the other side. You're working for the other side, and yet we're trying to catch up, all right? So we're going to have to start working for our own side so that we can not only catch up, but then go ahead, because this America, this world is falling, and they're bringing it down themselves. This is called a great reset. They bring this the old world down to put up this new world order. That's what they're taking it down to put up theirs, and guess who ain't going to be in it in a favorable position? Us. All right? Mm-hmm. They intend to eliminate a lot of the indigenous, the darker people of the world. They got computers now. They got robots. They don't need the manufacturing, the number of people in manufacturing the way they used to. So they're going to call the population. The minister has been warning us about this. The messenger warned us about this. We got documents from Kissinger. We got documents from under the Carter administration, Mobile 2000, of what they had planned to do. And now we're living in it. So, yes, it is a great privilege to be a part of the correct side, the right side, and try to make some positive things happen and build, like I said, honey and the carcass. While this world is falling down, we stand up and give the people another alternative, a choice. And I really believe that's why that the government and the churches came out with food. They saw the people running to Muhammad. Muhammad was there to save them. And they said, oh, Lord, we can't have that. We're going to have to get these Negroes something. Keep them away from Muhammad. So let's keep pushing. Let's bring the people to Muhammad. Bring the people, take the food to the people, and bring the people to Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you very much for your call, Brother Dwayne. We appreciate your work you're doing. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anybody else want to make any comments or ask a question? Press that 1 on your dial, and we will bring you in. So we are still waiting for some more to come on in. Doc. Oh, we got somebody in. Hold on just a minute. Caller with the last 4 digits.
No, I'm not.
No, sir, I'm not. In fact, we're pulled over.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Caller with the last 4 digits, 5406. What's your name and where you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Zatima. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia this evening. How are you?
We're fine. Praise be to Allah and you.
I am well, thank Allah, doing very well. A little emotional listening to all the great things going on in the Ministry of Agriculture. It is so dear to my heart. That's one of my majors. It's something I wanted to be growing up in Brooklyn. I wanted to be a farmer. And it's just something I always admired and always loved. I've also loved and admired and watched from afar Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann under Sister Doris working in Richmond sometimes to help her in any way I could. And I'm just so excited and so blessed to be able to serve as the regional or city coordinator here in the city of Richmond. And I'm excited. I've got good responses so far. And I'm just, excited. So I did want to comment about the brother mentioning about the store. So I have a grocery store here, praise be to Allah. It's a love child that came to me. I'm also the student director at the MUI here in Richmond. And as we all know, education doesn't pay, but so much, praise be to Allah. It's definitely rewarding in every other way besides financial. So Allah blessed me with the grocery store. And to hear that the Ministry of Agriculture is talking about putting grocery stores in every city in this country is phenomenal. And I can't wait for it to happen. I would love to convert and join on, and it be this one be one of the first ones, the pilot or what have you. I would love that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Praise be to him. I'm glad to be a part of the family.
How long you been in business?
We've had the grocery store. We opened May the 11th, 2019. We opened our doors. However, I have been selling the Gullah Veggie Burger and just different things that Allah has blessed me with for well over almost 10 years in agriculture, just all types of food or value-added products. So even from building planters, just anything to do with agriculture, we have done. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Have you posted stuff in the Ministry of Agriculture in terms of some of the things you're doing?
I have not yet. I heard that, and I made a note. I made a note, beloved. Definitely made a note, and it is on my list to do. But, yes, sir, I have not yet.
Okay, because, see, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the dark that people don't know about, and people are saying, what are the Muslims doing? What are y'all doing? They're crying out loud talk. What are y'all doing? But there are people doing things, but they're doing it in the dark.
Sir.
And I think now it's time for some of these things to come out to the light. If you feel that you're ready to come out to the light, bring it on out so that people can see it, so we can bear witness and make the minister's word bond by, in fact, stepping out there. So that is so great, sister, and we sure would like to talk to you about that. How can we help you whatever way we can? Because you're already there. And so you let us know how we can help, and we definitely want to promote what you're doing.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. And you know, we just work. We don't realize that it is behind closed doors until someone say, "Oh, I never heard."
Right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Great. Oh, praise be to Allah.
Praise
you made my day.
Oh, praise be to Allah. I work hard to do that for everyone I come in contact with. So that's
right.
A blessing to hear. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. So I'm like,
Do y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
Shoot, you need Brother Terrence need to talk to her. Like she can, she got it going. She already got it going on. I know he works hard out there.
Yes, sir.
I know he works hard out there. He might want to talk to her and her experience of how she got things going. That's great. This is Zatima in Richmond. Richmond was ahead of the old Confederacy. Was Richmond the capital of the Confederacy?
I think it was. So what's the significance of that, Dr. Ridgely?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, ain't nothing like putting a dagger going into the coffin of the Dracula and sticking a dagger right in his heart. So if Richmond was the head of the Confederacy, and now we got a new head coming up in there, up in the Confederacy.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So, you know,
yes, sir.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right. And I just wanted to let the listeners know, press that one. You've had some good questions and comments so far, and we've got plenty of time for more, so don't be shy. Press that one and let us know what you think about your staple goods products, what you think about being a coordinator in the staple goods program, and where you like to see it go.
And again, I'd like to thank all the coordinators because we went to over 80 cities. And, you know, sometimes for some people, that was their first time of doing it. And for most people, it was overwhelming in terms of the amount of product that they had to move. You know, they had to rent a truck or rent a trailer. They go and pick it up from the terminal and then distribute it to the people. And it was a lot of work. And, you know, many people
yes,
have
sir.
A committee working with them, and we advise them because it can be overwhelming for one person. But having a committee to work with you, that's that collective manner, work in a collective manner. So, but, yeah, I really appreciate the staple goods. And I appreciate you, Brother Carlton and Sister Magina, because you all handle a lot of the dirty work. You know what I mean? Me and Sister Ann, we do a lot of physical work, but y'all do the dirty work. What I call about the dirty work is take care of all them little problems that everybody has, questions and little problems and procedural issues
yeah.
and trying to get the website and the spreadsheet and get everything lined up. That's the dirty work.
Having worked in the mill with you, I would beg to differ.
So what now?
I said, having worked in the mill with you, I would beg to differ.
Well, it is. And I was telling Sister Ann, you know, man, I had all the machines running today, man. The two flour mills and sifters and everything, and keeping them supplies so they can bag it up, man. That thing wore me out today. Ooh, and I'm so glad, Brother Carlton, that you helped me to put up that bucket elevator. Because man, I can only imagine what I would feel like if I didn't have that bucket elevator to lift that stuff up
yes,
two
sir.
Steps and everything and dump. Even with all that, it was very, very physically tiring and worrying because every little sound means something different, and it's loud in there anyway. But every machine makes a certain sound, and certain it lets you know something's wrong. It's like the sifter, man, the old sifter. Last night it started shimmying. I mean, it started shaking. I mean, it was out of balance, something, you know. So I had to try to figure out how to balance it up, man, because I said, man, let's say trying to jump out of here. You know, those are the type of things that you got to figure out. And nobody's there to help you most of the time. I mean, I can call engineer up, man, but he wasn't there no 10 o'clock in the night. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's tough for what y'all do in terms of keeping things in line procedurally and all those coordinators happy. And informed. That is a blessing. Really, it is.
Well, it's just a blessing. It's our way of investing in our own future. It's for ourselves, our own self interest, and also for the self interest of our nation. So, you know, it's a labor of love. So, just you know, if you follow examples of us.
And if I could just add, it's just an example of being in community. We talk about community, and we have to talk about community. But after the talking and with the talking, we have to actually be doing the work. And it just feels like, more than just feels like, but we're working toward establishing community. So as we work together, you know, each part has its own importance and value. And so we're just glad and grateful to Allah to be a part of that system that's going to build our community. We're grateful.
Well, you know, I'm grateful to be a part of it because, you know, it gives me something to do. I mean, I've been down here 26 years, and I have really enjoyed it. It has been what's called fulfilling. It's been hard as hell, but it's been fulfilling because, hey, I know I'm doing something important. I know I'm doing something beneficial.
Right.
I'm doing something for my people, and I'm doing something to make the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan his word bond, because he has worked too hard, and he's given us so much, somebody has got to make his word bond to shut the mouths of the naysayers who say, well, he just got to talk. What is it? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how come Farrakhan ain't got these? They ain't got that. So, you know, this just really upsets me. Okay?
Yes, sir.
That type of talk.
Yes, sir.
I work hard because it's not fair to the minister to not have the things to show based on what he is saying. Having things manifested is not fair to him,
sir,
to not manifest the wisdom that he brings us in terms of a manifestation of something real is not fair to him.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons why Mr. Ann works so hard, you know, because we love the minister, the messenger, and Master Farah Muhammad. And we're trying to love our people. We're trying to love our people, but, you know, our people, they kind of hard to love. But you got to love Mr. Farrakhan, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Master Farah Muhammad because of what they have done for us and continue to do, and their sacrifice for us. So whatever we can do, you know, we don't have a lot of money. You know what I mean? You know, we give our savings day, but that ain't much. But our labor, and when people can look at our labor and look at the minister and say, that's the Nation of Islam. That's the Minister Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, Ministry of Agriculture of the Nation of Islam that's doing that. Okay?
Right,
that's what it's
right.
all about. You know?
Yes, sir.
That's what it's
and
all about.
And I just want to say that about halfway through the show, if anybody else would like to make a comment or question, press the one on your dial, and I will open your mic so you can get the conversation. Okay,
you know,
go ahead and carry on. Just until somebody decides to get on.
Well, Sister Ann ain't doing a lot of talking tonight because she's in there fixing my dinner.
Oh, okay, well, you probably don't want to bother her then.
And I had Brother Carlton, you got to see what I did yesterday, okay, when you come in. What I got these two vibrators, okay, that I put on the bagging machine to make the wheat flow because we have a problem with it.
Oh,
getting,
okay, so you don't have to bang it no more.
Right. So, but it's loud, though. It's a vibrator, and it's loud against that. So Sister Ann, she has these earmuffs. She had these earplugs, you know, headsets, noise thing. And, of course, she has a mask. You know what I mean? But, it's noisy. It's real noisy now over there. And it's noisy in the flour mill. That ain't nothing compared to the noise over there at the bagging place.
Okay. Yes, sir.
It's noisy. But the wheat, the flour flows now. And so it goes a lot faster, the bagging process. Because, it flows
faster. That's a good innovation, Doc, because it's like you all had to bang on it like several times in a bag, right?
Man, please. It's just, you know, that was getting old. You'll
yes,
be impressed
sir.
When you see it. It took me all day to get it, you know, to get it on and lined up and so forth. Nothing is easy. You know what I mean? Nothing is easy. So it takes a long time to get things done. All praise be to Allah, we got that done. So that was a definitely an improvement. So we're moving on up, and as soon as you come back to work and finish out what you was doing, so we can make that extra porch so that we can do another expansion. We'd be almost modern. And as we have Founders Day this year, we have something to show people, you know, show some people a real operation.
Jack, have you heard if we find out if we're going to be in a virtual Savior's Day? And if so, are they going to speak for the ministry?
I don't know. You know what? I haven't heard any. Have you heard anything? I haven't heard anything.
No, sir.
You haven't heard anything? I haven't heard anything.
No, I would assume
this could be a virtual service Savior's Day. I don't know. but I haven't heard a thing. Right. If anybody's out there that's heard something about Savior's Day, please call and let us know. Any little rumor or anything, because I ain't heard nothing. So we I had to go there to get some parts for our next for the cream of wheat, cleaning the wheat, the last stage for the cream of wheat. I had to design something, so I had to go to Lowe's. And I didn't have to buy much, but it's just amazing, just the power of the mind and the right angles to doing something. In other words, you can get a whole lot done, but you got to figure things out, and then you have to, make it. Now, it'll be an invention later on. It can make it look real sophisticated, and we can, sell it to other folks. But you see it when you get over here, you'll see it too, Brother Carlton, what I've designed for. It's called Afro Engineering, but it's not nigger rig no more. Don't call it nigger. You can call me nigger as long as you have rig, okay? But my wife don't like nigger rig. So it's Afro Engineering. So I think you enjoy my Afro Engineered cleaning machine.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that'd be real nice. Yes, sir. It's just a testament, I never would have thought how many skills you have to have to make a farming environment work. Because you think of farming, you think about, planting seeds and watering and irrigation and putting in the fertilizers and all that and the seasons and all that kind of stuff. But, having been there to help as much as I could, the other things in between, keeping things running and fixing things, I never would have thought it was that much involved.
Well, one thing that gave me the clue to what I was going to be getting into as a farmer, because my family did not own a farm. I didn't live on a farm, so I didn't know what farming was all about. But I went to school and for agriculture economics, and then I did my research on my PhD dealing with farm decision making. Well, to do that, I had to go and interview some of the best farmers in Michigan and to try to understand the most important decisions they have to make and how they go about making the decision. It was really studying the process of decision making. And one of the things the farmers kept telling me that was essential for two things essential for you being successful. Number one, you run until you get it done. In other words, once you got things running, you keep going until you finish. You don't say, well, I finish this tomorrow. No, you do it until you can't do it no more, until you just roll out of time and you run out of gas and lights. You keep going once you got it running. The other thing is, you better be able to fix your own equipment.
Okay.
You better be able to fix your own equipment. And I'll bear witness. I know more about what I know than I want to know, don't care to know. I know about almost every damn piece of equipment, the tractor, the combines, everything, inside out. Up in there. I'm talking up in there, fixing stuff.
Wow.
Trying to figure out, something ain't working right, don't sound right. What the hell is that? And you got to figure it out, because you can't spend $125 an hour for somebody to tell you, well, I don't know either. Other than spend $250 for 2 hours, and then they say, well, we don't know either. I told you about that experience. I called. They didn't know what was wrong with the machine, the John Deere. I had to figure that thing out.
I thought that was a wise decision.
Huh?
I said that was a wise decision.
Well, yeah. So we tell people, if you want to be a farmer, you got to learn welding. You got to learn plumbing, because you out here in the woods, you ain't going to get no plumber to come out here all the time. All right? You got to know about carpentry. You got to know about diesel mechanics. You got to know about regular mechanics. You got to know about all different types of equipment. You got to know about millwright. It's like I'm a millwright right now. That's what a mill right
yes,
does. A mill right keeps the mill going. Every piece of equipment, and this is what we brought over here from Africa. We had manufacturing plants, processing plants. We had a flour mill. Okay? And,
right.
They brought us over here and made us do it for them. And then you go tell us that we didn't do nothing. I just put up a picture today of a building that they're burning down right down the road from me. And I'll show you, Brother Carlton, where it's going to be gone by the time you get. You've been passing all the time, but it was in the woods to the side of the road.
Well, I saw them. I saw them. That's that building you said you thought was a schoolhouse.
Yeah, a schoolhouse, yeah. And I've been meaning to go over there too. I did today and took some pictures. But hey, it was so weedy and bushy. Man, I know it's rattlesnakes. I was curious, but I wasn't that damn curious to go over there to see what it was. Okay? But I saw the day because they had cleaned it out or wrapped them around it. So I was able to go over there and take some pictures, a close up. That was an old schoolhouse. You know? And
oh, well, you think it was, huh?
Yeah, and for that size of a schoolhouse, there was a community out here. You know what
okay.
I'm saying? There was
yes,
a community
sir.
Out here. And we could see the pieces of so the remnants of the old church, remnants of the houses. You know what I mean? We see, you know, we'd be plowing, and then we run up a bunch of bricks. You know what I'm talking about? Where
wow.
the house was there. But, you know, it's all gone and buried and everything, and we don't know. There were 22,000 residents in Terrell County in 1910. Now there's only like 8,000. But in 1910, there were 22,000. So this was it was more people in Terrell County than was in Dougherty County. You know, Dougherty County got over 9,000 people, right? But we in 1910, they only had 16,000, and Terrell County had 22,000. So, Braunwood, Dawson, Sasser, Parrott, all these other little, and even out here in Muhammad Farms, you know, they were communities, and there was a lot of 40 acres farms, and but they,
yes,
you know, they all got wiped out. But so that's a rim of what was here. That schoolhouse, it was a three-room schoolhouse, and that's a pretty big schoolhouse back in the day. So there was a
okay.
lot of people out. Yes, sir. There's somebody, when I put it up, somebody said, well, if it's that important, how come somebody didn't protect it and restore it? And so I told him, you know, when we left here, we left running from the KKK. All right?
Yes, sir.
They burned us out from Terrell County. They ran us out. So we ain't had time to come back and take no damn pictures. We were leaving running for our lives.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's
amazing.
A whole history. But this time, enemy, this time we got the plane. We didn't have the plane before. We didn't have the wheels before. So when you came and burning and shooting and killing and raping and looting and lynching, okay, the God wasn't here. But the God is here. He got a plane. So you know you better step back. And this is why they come with a needle now, stick you in your back. Accept the poison because they know about the plane. They're not coming at us direct. They got to get
okay.
us to participate in our own death. They got to get us to accept our own death. Because we have to sound
right.
the bottom line that it's okay if you shoot me with this experiment. I am willing to be a part of the experiment. Okay. So they take that to
right.
Master Farah Muhammad and say, hey, look, no. Look, they agree. We told them there might be a fatal incident. There may be some side effects that might kill them. But they agree. Don't come messing with me. You know, these your people. Well, I don't know about that because they agree with me. So they can't come at us direct. Now they come at us all the. And we thank Allah for the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for July 4th, the criteria, where he laid it out. The Nation of Islam is not taking this shot, and we consider it an act of war if you try to make us take it. Now, I'm going to drop this on you. When white folks heard that, when white folks heard that from the minister, this is how white folks think. What he know about that shot? I'm going to find out. Now, if them niggers not going to take the shot, I'm going to find out what's wrong with that. And so like that, a lot of white folks got a lot of stuff on the internet talking about these vaccines.
Yes, sir.
Because they have studied. The minister put it out there, and they have studied. And now what? They ain't taking the shot. You know? They don't mind dying as long as niggas die. But when niggas say, hell no, we're not taking it, they got to think about it now.
Right.
They don't mind leading us into a trap. But if we're not going into the trap, they ain't going in there to be the bait. Lead us into the trap. They don't want to be in the trap. So it's a lot happened because of what Mr. Farrakhan did July 4th. What you're seeing are these refuseniks, you know what I mean, refusing to take this shot, you can thank the Honorable Minister Farrakhan for that.
Yeah, we heard in the news while we were here in Atlanta that Tyler Perry, they're paying Tyler Perry to do a show, a movie, on trying to encourage black people to take the vaccine. So they're pulling out all the shops, trying to get all the celebrities to get their shot and say, see, I got it, so it must be okay.
Well, it wasn't okay for Hank Aaron.
Nope.
You know, but yeah, they're pulling out all the stops. They're pulling out everybody to take this shot. So I guess so what? This is the day of judgment. So it's being lined up very clearly. Who's on the side with Master Farah Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Mensa Farrakhan? Who's on their side? And who's on Satan's side?
That's right.
It's being lined up very, very clearly. And people are making choices. So, as it's being exposed, as to the poison and the murder that they're doing with these shots, it's going to be no question as to who Satan is.
Yes, sir.
And people would have made their choice. And therefore, that's proper judgment. So, we're not talking about things that happened in the past, like with Tuskegee, that they got away with. And you say, well, all that's past. Everybody's dead from that. That's all over. Well, this ain't all over. This is you living right in the middle of it. So, Ramadan Muhammad said you cannot fathom the depth of this wickedness. Well, you're living in the depths of this wickedness right now. It's being broadcast to you live and in living color. Everything on the news is all about take this shot, take this shot, take this shot. If people are dying, you're going to die, take this shot. Pushing you, hurting you towards taking something that usually takes 10 years to develop. And now you're the guinea pig. And why are you doing it? Because the devil gives you nothing. So, I know I talk too much. I know other folks probably want to chime in and want to call in. This is supposed to be about stable goods, but it's all related because they're going to tell you, you have to roll up your sleeve or leave. You ain't going to be able to get no food, get a job, go to the movies, go to a ball game. You're going to be able to do nothing unless you get this shot. They're setting it all up. You roll up your sleeve or leave. Well, you might as well call me left. I'm out of here. You know, but that's what's happening.
Down to the last 10 minutes. Anybody has a question or comment, press the 1 on your dial and we'll open your mic.
And don't forget, y'all, go to NOI. Okay, I'm NOIMOA.org. NOIMOA.org to get involved in the Stable Goods Project. NOIMOA.org. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. Caller with the last 4 digits 0883. Oh, Brother Dwayne.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As Dr. Richley was talking, you know, the book I was reading right now, my book for the year, or started off, is Buried in the Bitter Waters, the Hidden Story of the Racial Cleansing in America.
Mm.
I mean, just how you talking about running us off of the lands. I mean, I'm just getting halfway through this story, and I'm just like, boy, everybody who should read this book, they'll order staple goods.
Okay, what's the name of the book, and tell me more about it.
It's called Buried in the Bitter Waters, the hidden history of racial cleansing in America. Basically, it's about a bunch of stories of how they ran us off the land in the South. I heard Brother Abdullah, he recommended the book in one of his lectures, so I ordered it, and you know, he got all these little stories of how they basically just told black people in certain little counties that you have to be out by 7 o'clock, in so many words, and they had to pack up and get up out of there, how they were just making it a white county and things like that.
Okay, Brother Dwayne, do you have
do you
have my phone number or email?
Yes, sir.
Which one, phone number or email?
I believe I may have both.
Okay.
I got the phone number when I was down in Georgia one time. So.
Okay. Text me the name of that book and the author. I'm going to order that book tonight. I got to have that book. That's the first time I heard of that. Can you believe that? Dr. Ridley don't know it all? Oh, my God. That's news, y'all. Doc don't know it all. That's news, y'all. But I'm going to know this. Yes,
I think the writer, he came up with the story after coming to a museum in Arkansas and seeing the picture of how there were so many black people in that town, but then he come outside and he can't find one black person in the county. So he went to the census, and, you know, myself, I work for the census. So it's like he went to the census and just started seeing that there were counties that in 10 years, their population for the blacks just decreased by, you know, 10-15%, and then they were down to none in the county.
Wow. That's exactly what happened in the surrounding counties around Dougherty County. All the black folks were pushed out of the surrounding counties into Dougherty County in Albany, and they've been killing them with bad food and bad water ever since. But yeah, I got to have that book because that's a hidden story, man. They ran us off the land. Okay, we didn't leave the land; they ran us off the land. All right, and now we don't want the land. We got an in-grant because they scared us. They made owning land a death. In other words, you know, you go die if you trying to own some land around here. And so now people don't want to be bothered with no land. They want to feel like they're safe up there in the cities. And now they're being, you know, killed like rats with poison. But yeah, brother, send me that information, man. Wow. Gotta have that. Thank you so much. Man, anybody else got any information like that Doc need to know? You know what I mean? I'm a information crook, thief. Whatever, I steal knowledge. So feed me. You know what I mean? I like to read. So yeah, I'm gonna order that book tonight. But as soon as you send it to me tonight, I'm ordering that book. Okay, anybody else want to call them?
No, sir, that's it. Oh, wait a minute. We got one other person that just pushed the button. They got a few minutes to talk. What's your name?
Okay.
And National Dishes 5406. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, Farm Lake, and this is Atima. In listening to the brother just now about the book Buried in the Waters, I believe it is, Buried in the Bitter Waters.
Yes.
And actually, it's you can preview it on Google Reads, so that'll get you started anyway until you get the book in. I've found it myself. I plan to order it as well. Thank you, sir, also.
Yeah, I got to get that book. Okay. My brother called. So what song you got for us tonight since you're on the road?
Yes, sir. We got your favorite.
My favorite? Okay, come on. What's her name? Gaynor?
Gloria.
I Will Survive. Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. That's right. That's my song.